U.S. military base in Hawaii. Holly and I visited it this January. This radar station was protecting Pearl Harbor, and it was monitored by a young officer, Joseph Luckard, who was on duty, and he suddenly detected that a large number of approaching aircraft were approaching. And this happened at 7:02 a.m. So he observed that these aircraft were coming towards Pearl Harbor, so he alerted his findings to his superior officer. He did his duty. But he was told not to be concerned about it, that it was just likely their own planes training in the area. The private officer repeatedly, he tried to tell others, to warn them, to respond, but everyone in leadership ignored his alarm. At 7:55 a.m., the attack began by the Japanese. Over the next half an hour, Pearl Harbor's airfields and their docked battleships were subjected to a merciless attack with bombs, guns, and torpedoes. This harbor was completely destroyed. If only they would have listened to the warnings, thousands of soldiers' lives would have been spared. If they only would have listened to those earlier warnings. And this is the message of Jude, as he warns us that the church is under attack and that we need to be contenders that fight for the truth. And that's our title, Be a Contender. And when we read the Bible and we live our lives, we understand that the Christian life, it is a spiritual battlefield. And often, though, we treat it like a comfortable playground. And we know if you're living out your Christian faith, you will be attacked. And that's what we're looking at this morning. So as we turn to Jude, let's hear his warnings to the church today. As we look at these first 11 verses, I'm going to stay right there. I'm not going anywhere else. And we're just going to look at these powerful verses and understand the spiritual battle that is all around us. In the last message, I reminded you that Jude challenged us to understand our identity. It's so important in our lives. And as we look at the Christian life, we understand that the enemy attacks us in our identity, on who we are in Jesus Christ. In Jude, we learned the last time that he clearly identifies God's army. This doesn't seem to be working. Thank you. So I reminded you last time to look at your computer like this. And you really do. Be careful what you share on the internet and on the phone. Because we do have an enemy. And he attacks us. And he wants our personal information. And their spiritual enemy, he wants to attack our identity, who we are in Christ. And he wants to discourage us. And if we really look at, there are wolves within the sheep. And that is the warning that Jude has for us in his book. So as we learned about God's army, who is God's army? He identifies that God's army is God's people, God's children, born-again Christians who have faith alone in Jesus Christ. Both James and Jude, they were half-brothers of Jesus, and they wrote challenging letters to the church to live out our faith. James says that without works, faith is dead. So we need to grow up. We need to mature as children. And that's what this letter is all about. even though he was a half-brother of Jesus, I think it's really important that that's not how he identified himself. When you look at these verses, he identifies himself as a servant of Jesus Christ. And secondly, as a brother of James. And that's how we need to identify, and that's what we talked about last time. And Laura, she shared that we're no longer a slave, that wonderful song, and that we're children of God. We're free. So how does someone identify as a willing servant of Jesus Christ? We know from the scriptures that first, you have to be a believer. And Laura's going to share in a bit her testimony of her faith in Jesus. And we celebrate with her as she publicly professes. And she just shares her love. What Jesus has done in her life, he can do in everyone's life. But the responsibility for us is to open our hearts. The scriptures promise us in Romans 10:9, and this is really important, that if we openly declare that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You get a new heart. And Jude needed a new heart. Even though he was the brother of Jesus, remember at the beginning, he was mocking and he was making fun of Jesus. All his brothers were, including James. And then they came to a point of faith. And that changed everything. The resurrection changed everything. And we talked. When they saw him on the cross, I think that did things to them. And so we understand that they needed to make a decision. Jude had to, James had to, even though they're brothers of Jesus. And you have to this morning, each one of us. We have to follow Jesus on his terms. Everyone begins in the same place. We're born again. And then we have to grow. And we learn from Jude's own faith journey. And we're going to learn from Laura this morning. It's so wise to learn from other people's experiences, not just our own experiences. And here, it says, Jude says, to those who've been called, who are loved, who are kept for Jesus Christ. That's who God's army is. That's what God does. God does the keeping. God's arms of love around us. And we need to understand that, because life is difficult. And Laura, as she professes her faith, we understand that that was her experience. And my experience, I grew up in the church, and I was baptized as a baby, so was Holly. But we came to understand by reading the scriptures. And that's the thing, is it's only by reading the scriptures and by sharing with the scriptures, the truth, that we came to understand and being convicted that we needed to be baptized as a believer. And there's always a blessing that comes from obedience. And we really need to understand that ourselves. So then he gives us mercy, peace, and love. Be yours in abundance. And this letter is a love letter. When you look at the original Greek, when I identify as God's enemy in verse 3 and 4, it says, beloved friends, dear friends. So this is a love letter, even though it's a challenging letter. Because Jude's purpose, he's got two purposes at least. He wants to expose the false teachers. And we've got lots of false teachers today. We've got false teaching everywhere. And that's why we have to be in the Word ourselves. And then he wanted to encourage Christians to contend. That means to fight for your faith. Fight for the truth. So he begins with love. And in verses 3 and 4, he identifies the enemy. And it's very important to understand that the enemies are the godless that are led by the devil. And inside each of us, There's a lack of goodness. There's an evil that we need to deal with. That's the bad news. But the good news is that we come to Jesus, and we come the way we are, and we ask him for help, and we keep asking him for help. And that's what we learn, right? That we need his help. But we have an enemy, and this enemy is godless, faithless, mocks God, just like Jude did at the beginning. Wants nothing to do with him. Deceitful. It abuses God's grace, and it denies his truth. And you know what? Worse, it twists. The enemy twists God's truth. He always has. There's such a theme here of the ungodly, the enemy. And we could see that Satan, his workers are on a mission to infiltrate the church. They creep in. And when you look at 3 and 4, he wants to write to them about their salvation. And as Jack read, I hope you picked that up, that he wanted to encourage them about their faith. But in verse 3, he's compelled to write and urge them to contend, to fight, to struggle for the faith that was once entrusted to God's holy people. It's a gift. For certain individuals whose condemnation was written about long ago have secretly slipped in among them. It's that wolf in that sheepfold. And they're clearly on a mission to destroy unity, to destroy truth, to twist it, to abuse grace, to say that it's okay to live like immoral lives, and that you can live whatever way you want, and that there is no judgment. And today you're going to hear that Jude says, don't be fooled. That's not the truth. That's the enemy twisting the truth. And so Jude shows us how they've crept in the church. Because we've fallen asleep, those in the church. Because we're not really aware of what God's word says. And so we're unaware of what truth is. And like that supervisor at Pearl Harbor who disregarded the warnings of his junior officer, we have warnings all over the place. And so we learned why they came into church. And they were on mission to destroy the church. At the end of verse 4, I think it's really powerful. Aaron, what you shared a couple weeks ago, that's key to those first 4 verses. It's about our sovereign and master Lord Jesus. That look what it says in verse 4. Certain individuals whose condemnation was written long ago have secretly slipped in among you. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality. They just want to live whatever way they want. And they deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. And that's what we're doing. When we're denying our master, we're given over to our sinful flesh, the sinful world, and we're really vulnerable and we're open to the devil. So today we're going to focus on verses 5 to 11, God's victories. And we're going to see example of after example of descriptions how God defeats the enemy and how we can, as we trust in Jesus, we can defeat the enemy. Jude reaches back, when you look at verses 5, into the Old Testament history, and he gives 3 examples of God's victory over those who had resisted his authority. And they turned from the truth, and they were destroyed. There's warning after warning. Look at verses 5. Though you already know all this, he's writing to the Jewish people who know this, all these stories. They knew their history. So he wanted to remind them that the Lord at one time delivered his people out of Egypt, but he later destroyed those who did not believe. They were destroyed because they did not remain faithful in their trust in the God that had delivered them. We see in this verse the danger of unbelief, and we have the same today. I remember Taylor sharing a number of weeks ago, it was like the danger of drifting. We need to hear that, because that applies to all of us all the time. Because we're getting messages all the time that wants to elevate self and lower the Lord Jesus. So when we look at this, he focuses on the nation of Israel. And they saw miracle after miracle. God had opened up the Red Sea. And he'd given them manna and quail. He supernaturally provided for them. He led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night. So he really tucked them to sleep with a nightlight. He took care of them because he loves them. And yet they didn't trust him. And that's the challenge we have in our lives today. When you look at this, only two people, Joshua and Caleb, they went into the promised land. Everyone else died because of their unbelief. A study showed that 1.2 million people died in the wilderness. So that makes 85 funerals a day. They were reminded day by day that God, he does judge unbelief. Those that do not trust him, and he does not allow them to enter the promised land. You might not want to believe that, but that's what the word teaches. God destroys those who do not believe. And that is not a popular message today. But it does show us that that's a warning that we need to trust what God says in his word. He speaks and it happens. It was their unbelief that led to their destruction. God wasn't going to let unbelieving rebels into the promised land. Those that wanted to live whatever way they wanted. Right? Like, that's so easy. I'm following Jesus, but I'm not following him on his terms. And that's tough. That's a tough truth. But that's what God says. Jude's point is that the deliverer of Israel became the destroyer of Israel. That the Savior can also be the judge. The God of the Bible is a God of love, but our Creator God is also a God of judgment. And we need to accept both truths about God. In verse 6, when you look at verse 6, there's another example. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their proper dwelling, these he's kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on the great day. And we see here the danger of not relying on our positions of authority. It doesn't matter who you are. These were angels that rebelled. And there's consequences to rebellion. When you choose to sin, we choose to suffer. These angels, they had abandoned the place where they belonged. And they had chosen to rebel against God's authority. And this passage is either referring to Genesis 6 or Isaiah 14. They're both places where angels rebelled against the God that created them. And I don't have time to go in these passages. But these were angels that had privileged positions that rebelled against their Creator God, and they were held accountable. And it's a real warning today that we better be careful about our privileged positions and that we really need to humble ourselves to understand that we need to listen and we need to trust and we need to obey God. And the point that Jude is making, if angels were even judged, they don't get a free pass. Jude didn't get a free pass. And even in our comfortable lives, we have to really see what God's word says. And we have to understand that it's about following Jesus on his terms. In verse 7, please turn to verse 7. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. We're living in such a day of unbiblical where many people don't know who Jesus are, or who Jesus is. And many people don't know, they think that Sodom and Gomorrah are a married couple in the Bible. That's what one of the most popular answers was. All right? We understand that these two cities were filled with rebels who refused to listen to their Creator. And they didn't follow their Lord God on his terms. It was filled with sexual immorality. We need to remember that God has never been afraid to judge his creation. Judge even his own chosen people. Judge the angels and these unbelieving cities that did terrible things. Well, can you read about it? You don't even like to read about it. Sodom and Gomorrah was full of perversion. So these are all God's victories. God is the hero. The Lord Jesus overcomes all our enemies. And the transforming truth here is that we need to understand that the battle belongs to the Lord. Remember I played that song by Phil Wickham? And Laura had some great songs. And every one plays right into this message. And that's not an accident, is it? So as we look at verse 7, we have to understand that prosperity can keep us from a victorious life. Abraham, he earlier allowed Lot to choose the land of Sodom due to its rich resources. And although Sodom was prosperous, it soon became morally and then physically bankrupt. That's what it was known for. And when we look at verse 6 and 7, Jude is encouraging us not to forget. And in a similar way, this morning, that we're not to forget. When we look at, there's three truths about truth. So he identifies three truths about truth, and the first one is that truth needs reminders. We need reminders. And as we live our lives, we understand how forgetful we are, especially as we get older. And today, you find many Christian churches where you can come and you can believe pretty well whatever you want, because we need to be preaching God's word. That's our authority. Not one person says or a whole group of people. It's what God says in his word. Church is not a social club. It's not a community center where everyone fits in and you can follow Jesus on your own terms. That's not what the Bible says. Church is a place where everyone belongs because we want to love others. A Christian needs to be known for their love. Otherwise, you should be really questioning yourself. Is Jesus on the throne or is self on the throne? Do you really know Jesus? Are you worshiping him with your life? And that's what life is about, worshiping him. And even when you go through terrible times, you can learn. Like I shared with you, benevolence, detachment. When you can have compassion fatigue and you learn how to trust Jesus Christ in new ways, that you can rise above your circumstances and you can not just survive, you can thrive. Right? Not only survive, but thrive. And that's what God wants for us. And so I think the most terrifying question Jesus asks in Luke 18:8. When he returns, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on earth? And there's spiritual deception that we have to be careful about. Jesus talks about the parable. Remember the weeds, the tares, and the wheat? That only in the harvest will you know who's a child of God or who is the enemy. So we need reminders. Jude is appealing to our memory. And he's writing to these Jewish believers who knew all these great events throughout their history, but he was reminding them. So for truth to have an impact in the present, we must remember the past. Truth's got to be reinforced, reinstilled, recalled, and repeated to every generation. And I think about September 11th, right? We remember, don't we, that terrorist attack. And we remember December 7th, 1941, the day that Pearl Harbor was attacked. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR, his famous words, "Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a day which will live in infamy, the day that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor." So as we were there, every day that place is packed as Americans remember what happened. When I was on the police service in the tactical team, my friend Dave died on a call. And there's a memorial in Cambridge that remembers his sacrifice to his community. We need to remember. Matthew Henry said the goal of preaching, that preaching is not designed to teach us something new in every sermon, but to remind us. Truth needs reminders. And studies show that at best, you're going to remember 25% of any teaching. And that's discouraging to preachers, but that's just what it is, isn't it? And we are weak, and that's why God is strong. And we need to remember, and that's why we're celebrating with Laura baptism. It's remembering what God has done, and it's celebrating the faith that God has given to Laura and her response to live her life to honor God. And so then we learn that judgment has a history. And we need to remember and know history. And today, that's really lacking. And especially young people today. We need to know history. Otherwise, we're destined to repeat it. I mean the mistakes. Let's learn. And let's grow. And that's why Jude gives us examples from the past. And tells us that God is not afraid to judge those in favored positions. And then we see in verse 8, when you look at verse 8, we learn that corruption brings apostasy. This is the theme, and apostasy is really if you're departing, you're rebelling, you're leaving the faith, you openly reject the faith, and you lead others to rebel against God. You twist truth so that you say, no, did God really say that? And there's lots of apostasy in the church where people openly say things that are very contrary to God's word. And I'm so thankful at Maple Creek that we have not argued about theological issues and the unity that's been here. And I really pray that it continues. This week I was praying many, many times for the leadership here at Maple Creek and for the people that I've grown to love here, and that you're faithful to God's word. So we have to remember that even when someone says to you not to believe certain truths today, that we're not to be shocked when someone who was a Christian goes on social media and renounces their faith. There's people all around us. We have family and friends. They make a choice. And we respect their choice. We love them. That's their choice. You either accept or reject. And it's about what Aaron said. It's God's leadership, his authority in our lives. And this isn't new, as throughout history, humans have a tendency to want to go our own way and reject God's divine authority. So in verse 8, when you're looking at verse 8, Jude gives us three examples of rejecting that divine authority. And so when you look at verse 8, in the same very way, On the strength of their dreams, these ungodly people pollute their own bodies. They reject authority and they heap abuse on celestial or supernatural beings. We learn here even on the strength of dreams. Has anybody had it? Like, Holly was telling me a dream last night, and we understand that dreams, like, depends on what we ate. When we're asleep, we can dream crazy things. Do you guys agree? And yet these false teachers, who are not divine, they were going by their dreams. And how stupid is that, right? If you listen to your dreams, we know that God works through visions and dreams, but then he confirms to us because he wants us to be confident that he's the one he's speaking. And even with all these spirit guides today and everything else, were the warnings, right? That's why you go back to God's word. Because you have to know that it's God that's speaking to you. Otherwise, you're in danger. So these false teachers, they polluted their bodies. They rejected authority and they heaped abuse. And this is just all about false teaching. And the final authority being God's word. And not someone's experiences. You always have to check that with God's word. Even prophecy. When somebody prophesies, that's got to be tested. That's what scripture says really clearly. And then you have to go back to God's word. Otherwise, you're in trouble. I spent 15 years over in fraud. I understood how human experience can get you in really bad places if you're not in God's word. So Michael, in verse 9, it tells us that he's one of the archangels. We know that from scripture. And even when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, he did not dare himself to condemn him for slander, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." So Jude is quoting from an ancient Hebrew book. And you have to understand, it's not necessarily an endorsement of that book, the Assumption of Moses. The Apostle Paul, he cited non-Christian poets in Acts 17:28. And he has a non-scriptural narrative in 2 Timothy 3:8. Both references were meant to support a particular point that he was making. And we see here that this is just confirmation of some of these truths that Jude is talking about. We have to be really careful that we're living, and it's about Jesus' name, but when we come to the enemy and being careless about, like, the devil is powerful. He's a created being. He's not all powerful. But it's about, in Jesus' name, it's about following the example that we have in God's word, that Michael knew. He said, "The Lord rebuke you." And Jesus said, "It is written." And we understand that we have power because of our identity and the authority that we have in Jesus. And we're not to be careless. And sometimes we can do that, and I've seen so many examples. And it leads to destruction, and it leads to hurting people. So verse 10, "Yet these people slander whatever they do not understand, and the very things they do understand by instinct, as irrational animals do, will destroy them." So the godless, those that are faithless, they scoff at things that they do not understand. They're called fools. And when your eyes are open, like Laura is sharing, they have that love and that joy, peace. You're able to understand truth. And that's why the godless are lost. And that's why we're to reach out in love. And Jude later says that people that are doubting, that you're just to help them. And reaching out in love. And you do it in the name of Jesus. And that's where our power is from, right? When we come on our knees and we ask God to help us and to help those around us, that's what it's about. That's what life is about. And when you look at this verse, it talks about leading to destruction, that they only share animal instincts. And that is not God's intent for those that are created in God's image. Salvation is available to all, but we have to accept who Jesus is and follow him on his terms. Verse 11, Jude gives us three examples of men who did whatever they wanted. They had privilege, and yet they abused that privilege. And that's why I told you about investigating frauds. I loved investigating frauds in the police service because it was investigating people who took advantage of their relationship with someone. Someone trusted them, and they took advantage of them. They were stealing from them, but they were doing even more. They were defrauding them. They're taking advantage of their relationship, their trust that they had. And here, we see these three examples. And Jude says, woe to them. And that is never a good phrase to hear, is it? And that's God's judgment. In verse 11, we read, woe to them. They have taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. So we see here of these examples, Cain is really religion without saving faith. He didn't have a true relationship with God. He didn't trust him. God even warned him over and over again. Cain brought his own sacrifice that was pleasing in his own eyes. And he thought that God would respect that, but God did not. Cain's way is the way of pride. He was the first murderer in the Bible. He focused only on himself and not on who God was. When you look at the way of Balaam, do you remember who Balaam was? He was a prophet in the Old Testament. And he said many beautiful words, but he got caught in self again. His way of error was he was money hungry. He cared only about himself and not about the people, God's people. So Balaam leveraged his influence as a faith leader to lead others astray. And today we got lots of examples of that. Be careful. People who say certain things and try to lead you. And I saw in many different investigations at work, most of them started in the church. Almost all of them. Because it's a place of trust. And they led people away. And they hurt them terribly. So today, when you think Balaam could be somebody on social media, manipulating and influencing others to follow their own way, right? Their own method. And they're not following God's way. And the way of Korah was a leader. He was a Levite. And he rebelled against God's authority. He rebelled against God's messengers. And he was judged. Some people have heroes today, and this is the warning, who are rebelling against all authority. And I can't speak to you more. Is if you have a negative attitude where you think everyone is against you, remember God is with you. And that we can't just reject all authority. And we have to have the courage to take a stand for truth. But we can't be a rebel against everyone and have negative talk that doesn't have space for the gospel, the good news. And that you make your main point, this is what I'm against. But really understanding who you're for and what life is really, the hope that you have. Instead, you actually give people more stress, right, by being negative. And so we have to remember, and that's why we celebrate heroes in our life. And that's somebody who puts their life on the line to save another person. That's a real hero. And when we think of like a soldier who fights on our behalf, a firefighter, or even a police officer, right? We have to understand that they're heroes, not Cain or Balaam or Korah. So I want to leave you finally to finish strong. And look at what it says on here. Are you embracing a culture that is drifting further away from God's word? You have to ask yourself that. Are you regularly in God's word? Because if you're not regularly in God's word, you are in trouble. And I've been encouraging you the entire time I've been here. I like to encourage. But the one thing that you've said that I've challenged you is to be in God's word. And if you're not in God's word regularly, you are in trouble and you don't even know it. And Jude is a reminder for us of the warnings that God wants us. He wants the best for us. So how do we finish well? How do we practically engage in God's army? And the way we do that is that we're aware. You can't manage what you're not aware of. If I wasn't in the Word continually, I worship the Lord Jesus. I don't worship the Word. But I'm telling you, the encouragement that I have, that I can share with others, even though I'm going through hard times, it's because I've been encouraged in God's Word. And it's really nice to see many of you, the commitment you have to be in God's Word, to reading books that just lift you up, that remind you of God's truth. But we are really shaped by what we're listening to, what we're reading. That's why Christian music, Laura, thank you. It's an encouragement, isn't it? The power of music. So we also have to be watchful. So be aware, be watchful, be careful. So we're watchful because many believe, if you listen to media, that the church needs to change, that it needs to agree with the modern age. I'm going to repeat that. Many believe that the church, that's a lie, that we have to agree with the modern age. Get on the wide road. And we know from Scripture that that's not the way it is. That we understand that the way is narrow. And we need to help the modern age and point them to Jesus. Because he's the one who helps us. Without him, our foot slips. We die slowly. Or it can happen quite quickly. But we need his love, his joy, and his peace. And we have to be careful in what ministry you support. Or what you support, organizations. You have influence in the world around you. So just be careful. Be wise. And then lastly, be courageous. Know what you believe and stand up for truth. Don't apologize for the truth. And you have to be loving all times, gentle and patient. But you don't have to compromise truth. And that's my heart this morning. That Maple Creek, that it doesn't forget God's truth, that he's revealed to us, and that we contend, we fight for the truth. We understand our identity, who we are. And that's what we're going to celebrate this morning, as we're going to, very shortly, Laura is baptized, and Jude just reminds us. He reminds us of whose God's army is. And Laura is in God's army. And she is just sharing, right, openly. And that's what it's about. It's a start. That's what baptism is. It's just it's a picture. Right? And then we're going to describe that in a little bit. But then Jude describes God's enemy and then God's victory. And God is our hero. And Jude challenges us to identify as a willing servant of Jesus Christ. And we're to fight. We're to contend. We're to defend the truth in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, you are our perfect heavenly Father who loves us. And you sent the Lord Jesus. So thank you for the way that you show your love in powerful ways. And thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the living and the written word. And you've done everything for us. Help us to accept the truth that you have revealed in your word. And help us to be sensitive to you, Holy Spirit, as you are our helper. And you are the one that leads us and gives us that love and that joy and that peace that we can't get from anyone or anywhere else. As we read your word, Lord Jesus, we understand that we're no longer a slave to fear, like we sang, but we're free, and we can enjoy this life to the fullest, and we have an opportunity to share you with others. Help us that others see Jesus in us, and that we give glory to you. Help all of us to be aware, to be careful, to be watchful, and help us to be courageous, living our lives to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well,